Yo, a friend of mine is starting a new position. Well, he just got promoted to a new position the other day. He was like boots on the ground. Like his job before that was, in with the in on the ground, you know what I'm saying? Like really doing his work amongst the people and all that. But he's been doing so good. He got promoted to kind of like an executive level position, right? So, he hit me the other day and he's like, "Yo, can I use some of that SharePoint stuff that you guys be talking about?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." You know what I'm saying? Especially like you're the executive level, like now's the time to kind of show off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because you're gonna be, the position is different. Mainly because, like I said, it was almost like, not almost like, but the position before was like a boots on the ground type position, but now he's, you know what I'm saying, like going to the executive level. So I'm like, "Yo, here's what you do." So I told him, there's the low hanging fruit. Y'all know that my low hanging fruit I always talk about is a SharePoint list. Like, that's one of the best things you could do to get started. But that's when you're rocking and rolling, you kind of like are operating and you know what you want to do and what you need to execute on. But for this new position, I'm not going with a SharePoint list. I'm telling them we need to go with a site. And what we're going to do with the site is kind of like introduce him or make it his home. And here's the thing. It's not the SharePoint list will come for him to get something spun up operational. Like that will be there eventually. We'll have to do that. But I think the very first thing to do is a site, because you want to make a one-stop shop for the position. Like, no doubt it's him who has the position, but the position is more important to him because once he leaves, that position is still going to be there. So, more importantly is the position. So my thing is like, yo, if there isn't an already established one location, one-stop shop for this position, then you need to establish it. And sorry for being so like vague. You know what I mean? I don't want to exactly say what the position is because I don't know. I just feel like I shouldn't just yet. Eventually, I will talk about it, but it's so fresh that maybe I don't know. I'm just staying away from doing that. Anyway, I want to talk about why, when you start a new position, you should create a SharePoint site. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Thurman Trotman. Welcome to the SharePoint Help Desk podcast. Stupid happy that you're here with me in the building. You know what I mean? I normally talk about strategic ways to use SharePoint and other tools inside of Microsoft 365 suite. I try not to talk tech because, again, you can't really see the tech. You're only listening at this point. Now, if you want to see some of the tech, go to my YouTube channel, SharePoint Help Desk. All right, let's get rocking and rolling. So, here's the thing. When you first start a new position, there's a way to establish your ground. And that might normally be with like a staff meeting to say, "Hey, I'm here and here's my initiative and here's what I want to do." Or it might be, an email goes out announcing you or announcing that you got the position or whatever. Like, there's different ways when you first get a new spot, a new job or promotion or whatever, or somebody comes in and gets that new position. But a lot of times, or most of the time, people are not going to, remember the things that you're doing or saying. You might have that introductory email, or you might have you might stand up at the staff meeting and say, "Hey, everybody, nice to meet you." But that's, to me, that's not effective. The one turn, the one hit a quitter, you know what I mean? That you need to do better than that. I would say there should be multiple and repeated touch points. So, staff meeting, absolutely. Send out the email, no doubt. Regular meetings. Constantly saying something at the staff meeting, creating your own meetings. Don't be annoying with meetings though, because Meetings are pretty annoying if you don't know how to run your meeting. What else? And a SharePoint site. The point of the SharePoint site is kind of like to brand the position once again. So staff and faculty, they're going to need you for things. You're going to be providing resources. My friend will be anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, the position he's in now is kind of like I said, it's an executive position, but it's almost the executive position to his boots in the, on the ground position. So he came from a position where he knows what those folks are going to be doing, that like him, that the new version of him, he knows what they're doing. He knows what resources they need. He knows what they should be doing on a daily basis. He knows the important points of contact, all of that stuff. So in his new position, he'll also know there's different points of contact to reach out to. Why do I keep saying points of contact? It's point of contacts. Wait a minute. Now, points of contact. It is points of contact. My bad. So he knows the proper points of contact. He knows, like, the, you know, schools be always reaching into external databases and they pertain to certain positions. So that's a thing. He's going to be pushing information out. Now, definitely the information is probably going to come out via email, but there'll be a running list of where that information is on the site. So let's say October 1st comes and he pushes out some information. October 15th, 2 weeks later, he pushes out some more information. 2 weeks later, November 1st, he's pushing out more information. Let's say he just, for whatever reason, every 2 weeks he has an update to push out. He'll send the email out. That information will be in the email, but the email will also say, for all updates, visit my site. And you've been on vacation. You don't pay much attention to your emails or whatever. But once he brands the fact, once he comes to the staff meeting and says something like, yeah, everything that I talk about is available on that site. Once he does something like that, then, you know, it'll be known that you can go to that site, go to his site to get that type of information. If you missed any emails, it doesn't matter because those same pieces of information will be on the site. Matter of fact, it'll be easier for you to browse because inside of the email, you'd be scouring for the updates amongst other emails. Where on the site, you'd just be looking straight up at the content in the announcement section or the news section, I should say. Now, this is the move. This is the move that you want to make when you first get to a new organization. And even for yourself, you're probably going to be getting bombarded with a bunch of different information, and you're going to need somewhere to put that information, somewhere to make sure that you stay updated. Yeah, you could create browser bookmarks, of course. But you could also put your stuff on a site. Because again, it's not necessarily about you. It's about the position. He's going to be gone out of that position one day and going to have to transition it to somebody else. Now, does he want to transition this position with stuff coming off of shared drives and information coming out of emails and stuff pulling off of his desktop? No. You want to have this site that you sit this person down in front of and say, all right, and just walk them through the site and say, yo, look right here. This is the calendar that I keep updated with any events that's coming up. Here's a list of external points of contact. Here's a list of external databases that we interact with and how we use them. Blah, blah, blah. All of this stuff is on the site. How efficient is that? Everything should have a one-stop shop. You know what I'm saying? And this site that he creates, it shouldn't, I mean, now listen, I was about to say it shouldn't be the only site being used in this way amongst the executive staff, but I'm willing to bet the rest of his colleagues at his level are not going to be doing this. So I'm going to come in, help him out, make him look like a superhero. You know what I'm saying? And people are going to be like, yo, you got a site? Like, how are you even, what's going on here? What's the deal here? And then when we can get everybody else on board, when they see what they could do, they're going to want sites. So let's say, I don't know, three or four. Let's say there's four executive positions at this school, and all four get on board now because they see, you know, what my friend is doing. And my point is that when everyone is like that, there really should be, you got to be thinking in levels. So there should be an executive staff site. So that when you go to the executive staff site, you can pick, do I want to go to the principal? Do I want to go to the assistant principal? Do I want to go to this, that, the third, whatever? I don't know. I don't know what all the executive positions are up at the top there. But that's how you want to structure that in your organization. There should be an executive staff site, right? And then the positions should, there should be a site that leads from there, or like a page, whatever, where you can click from the executive staff page and see the individual pages of the executive staff. So that you could, when you land on those pages, you could see what that office is about. So like, I remember at the organization I used to work at, there was a CG, a commanding general. There was a DCG, a deputy commanding general. There was a DTCG, deputy to the commanding general. I might be getting this wrong. It's been a while. There was a chief of staff, all of that. These are the executive guys, you know what I'm saying? The and gals up there at the top. So if you say, or the command staff, that's what it was called. So if you call the command staff, you have a command staff site. And then when you land on the command staff site, you see a link to the commanding general. You see a link to the deputy commanding general. You see a link to the deputy to the commanding general. I might be saying that wrong, man, because that sounds crazy to have both of those positions. But anyway, that's what you do. You have the executive staff site and then lead it off to the different executive staff because they have different missions and they have different ways that they operate. Now, of course, they're a team, but at the same time, still, they have different things they're supposed to be handling. So go there to find out the mission. Go there to, you know, maybe an admin has set up, what's that called? The request a meeting with the CG. Maybe they've set that up on that site. Although, I don't know. Maybe that should be on the executive admin site. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, you should have one of those. That would be great. And then, that way, when my friend now comes and has the new position that he's taking over, then all you got to do, well, actually not taking over, it's being created at this school. A lot of other school has this position, but he's creating it, or they're getting that position now. So all he would have to do is plug in, because you already have the executive staff site. Now we just need to put this new position in, you know what I mean? Off of that page, just add it on there. That's why I'm like, yo, if you have an established intranet for your organization, it's great, because then all you have to do is, when you have a new thing, okay, wait, hold on. Let me orient you here. If you have an intranet, a home page, like the intranet for the whole organization, established, even if it's mad basic, it's still a good place, because if you can get the organization used to coming to that site, this is where you continually roll out different things. So in my friend's position, if they already had a intranet site, homepage, guess what? It already has a link that says executive staff. You click on executive staff, you see the executive staff page. When you're on the executive staff page, we would plug in his new position on that page. We would put the button there that says, you know, view this. But back on that home page, you use this, you get crazy. You get a little wild, you know what I'm saying, with the home page. Use it how you want. Of course, we're going to put the button to his position on the page that I'm talking about, the executive admin page. But on the homepage for the whole organization, you put a big banner at the top there that says, welcome our new blank, blank, blank. You know what I'm saying? And click here to, you know, read his bio or something like that or whatever. That's how you use that homepage. You need that homepage as your home base, and then everything sprawls off of there. neatly, cleanly, methodically. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of things he could put on that page. He could put like a video that that shows. He could make his like a he could do like a monthly address. Put that video on that page if you want to see it. Or he could do like his initial address, speaking about his mission and vision for the position. Stuff like that. It's beautiful, man. It's super easy. If you are starting a new position, whether you got promoted within where you are or you're starting a new position in a new place, I bet you they're already paying for Microsoft 365. And if they are, that means you have access to SharePoint. And if you have access to SharePoint, what does that mean? You can create a site and send the link out. Get people going on this. You could be, if you're in an organization where they're not using it, you could be the shining star. Because if you go cook up this website and make it look cool and send it out to everybody, they're going to be like, yo, what is that? I want that too. Not knowing that it's literally at their fingertips. Listen, if you need help with this, just shoot me a message. I'll be more than happy to walk you through this. Listen, y'all know I do a segment called, if this is your first time here, you don't know this. But for my returning guests, first of all, thank you very much. If you're a regular listener of the show, thank you. I would normally be like, yo, I want you to, you know, show your face and tell me you're a regular listener. But, you know, I ain't going to put the pressure on you like that. Just know that I appreciate you. So I do a segment called LinkedIn Love. I try not to miss LinkedIn Love because I definitely want to show some love to my LinkedIn folks. But this week I'm going to miss it. And full disclosure, I am getting ready to go on vacation. and I did not prepare. So I'm trying to just make sure I get this thing recorded here before I peace out. Listen, a couple of announcements. The Risk Register training that I have created or I'm in the process of creating, I got it full. The class is full. But that doesn't mean you still can't sign up. I do want you to sign up because you'll be on a waiting list. And you'll get this course early. And you'll be able to give me some feedback and refine it and make it even better. So sign up for Risk Register Training in the show notes. Number two. Oh, my goodness. I forgot what I was about to say. Who does that? How do you record a podcast, prepare for your podcast, and then forget an important announcement? Oh, yeah. So, listen. You know I say I'm on LinkedIn every day, all day, every day, right? All right, that's not true because I do work. What I mean by that is that I post every day on LinkedIn, twice a day at least. Sometimes I miss two times, but for the most part, 98.3% of the time, I'm posting twice a day. But I have been joining some LinkedIn audio events and getting up on the stage and, you know, contributing. And multiple people keep telling me like, yo, they like what I'm doing. And they, you know, they like when I speak. So as of this point, I have decided I'm going to be going live regularly on LinkedIn. The subject matter is going to be a little bit different, but don't worry about all that. Just know that if you're on LinkedIn, make sure that you follow me. I cannot wait. I really do believe that LinkedIn audio events is where it's at, especially for somebody like me. Like, yo, I've always loved talk radio, and the whole concept of LinkedIn Live, which I guess is from Clubhouse, it reminds me of talk radio. You got the person who's on the mic doing a thing, or they might have a co-host or two or three, whatever, and then there's like a long list of what do you call that? Callers. People call in. And, you know, they wait in the wing. There's a call screener who sees who that is calling in, gets their, hey, what are you calling about? You tell the call screener that. Then you wait in the wing until the host unmutes you and brings you on board and then talks to you. You know what I'm saying? And then when you're done, they hang it up and then you go back to listening. This is the whole concept of these audio events. And I freaking love them. And I feel like I was born to do them. So, Hopefully, I'll be dropping the first one here soon. And then after that, I'm going every week. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to OD. So, yeah, just stay tuned for that. But you got to follow me on LinkedIn to find out about it. Or get on the email list, because I will be sending out an email to my folks to let them know what's happening. So, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like I said, you could be listening to anything. Anything. There's a bajillion podcasts out there. But you're tuned in with me, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I hope that I'm serving you. I want to continue to serve you. Yeah, and enjoy yourself. Until next time. Later.